We invite you to open your Bibles with us now as Glenn Colley leads us in our study.
Open that Bible to the book of Proverbs. I know that you're going to enjoy this day because we're talking about something which obviously is interesting to everybody. We're going to talk about picking the right mate. In this first session, we're calling How to Put a Golden Band on the Right Left Hand. Now, you may not know this, but that's an old country song, and so I stole that. But I want to talk about making the second biggest decision of your life, who you're going to marry. This is so, so important. When the end of your life comes and the history has already been written, and here's what your life was about, I'm telling you this decision that you will shortly make will have so much to do with the success, the happiness of your life. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she which maketh him ashamed..." Now get this, is this graphic? It's like rottenness in his bones. I spent some time recently with a good friend of mine who has lived alone for the last 25 or so years. He was married, but his wife was promiscuous. She was adulterous. And so he put up with it as long as he could, and finally he divorced her. And so he's lived unmarried for all of these years. And you know what? Sometimes her name will come up in conversation. He'll bring it up, something that will trigger some memory, and he will bring up her name. And it still brings a grimace across his face. He can't speak gently. He speaks with anger and pain. All of these years later, and I think about this verse, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but if she makes him ashamed, it's like rottenness in his bones. And I've seen that rottenness on the face of this man. This is so important. It's important because of the permanence of marriage. Now see, here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 2. "A woman which hath an husband is bound by the law..." Now that's not the civil law, that's God's law. "Bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while the husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress." All right, so there you have it. Marriage was intended by God to be permanent. It's meant to be for our entire lives. And so Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, and he says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her which is put away doth commit adultery." In other words, God put a lock on wedlock and said, "I want you just to marry one time in your life." Now, here are a couple of exceptions to that. One is, if your mate dies, of course, the Bible says you can marry and have God's approval. The second circumstance is if your mate commits fornication or adultery, then you can put that mate away, he said, for that reason, if it's for that reason, and then you could remarry and have God's approval. But listen to me. Even in that circumstance, you probably still will have children. And that man you married, you say, "I shouldn't have married him. I shouldn't have married him. I knew he wasn't the right kind of man when I married him. I shouldn't have married her. I knew she wasn't the right kind of woman when I married her. I shouldn't have married her." Well, you know what? You did it. And now you have these children. And that woman's still going to be their mama for the rest of their lives. That man's still going to be their daddy for the rest of their lives. In other words, what I'm saying is this is so important because you're just getting mighty close to making this decision about who you're going to marry. What a great decision this is. What a wonderful thing of life. The Bible says it's not good that man should be alone. That's right. God made us to need a spouse. He made us to enjoy marriage. And the Bible says, "Whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Marriage is honorable in all, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. I mean, marriage is great, but you've got to find the right person, and you've got to be the right person. And that's what this day is going to be about. Now, what's wisdom? The book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and if you had to define wisdom, how would you define it? What's the definition of wisdom? Well, I'm going to give you a definition, and you have to promise me you won't ever forget it. Okay, here you go. Wisdom is the ability to tell how a particular course of action will turn out. That's wisdom. Okay, so a young man comes to his grandfather and he says, "Granddaddy, do you think I ought to ask her to marry me?" What's he asking? He's saying, "Granddaddy, how do you think this will turn out if I follow this course of action?" He's asking for his grandfather's wisdom, right? You ever ask for advice? You ever seek somebody's wisdom? What are you asking? How will this turn out? Okay, that's what the book of Proverbs is about. It's about seeking the wisdom of God. And what I want to do is to go, and I'm going to talk to the girls and I'm going to talk to the boys. We're going to talk about trying to find the right person to marry and what are those qualifications or characteristics that makes for a good spouse. Here we go. Number one, three absolutes on your list for a wife. Three absolutes in your list for a wife. Now, guys, I'm going to give you a card today to put in your wallet with a list on it about characteristics to look for in a wife. But let's do this from the book of Proverbs first. Go to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. You got to follow me now. I'm going to wear your thumbs out going through these scriptures. Here we go. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. It says this: "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." All right, I'm going to try it right there. All right, here's the first one. She fears the Lord. You say, "Gentlemen, I need to pick me out the right wife." What are the characteristics? The first one is, this verse says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but she that fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Now, sometimes folks will say to you, "You need to marry a Christian." Sir, pick you out a Christian girl. Get you a Christian girl. Get somebody who goes to church. This goes deeper than that. See, this isn't just about a girl that goes to church. This is about a girl who fears the Lord. Can you tell a difference between those two things? Is there a difference between a girl that just goes to church and one that fears the Lord? There may be a difference. How can you tell if a girl fears the Lord? Now, in the Bible, the word fear has two different meanings. For saved people, fear means reverence of God, a deep, deep reverence of God. And for people who are lost or not Christians, the Bible talks about fear in the sense of being afraid of hell, afraid of burning in torment. And Jude 22 and 23 uses that idea. This one, of course, is somebody who reverences God. Pick out a girl who reverences God. How can you tell if a girl reverences God? And what kind of things can you think of that would make you know this? Well, when she's in worship, does she sing? You ever see a teenager didn't sing in worship? Just kind of sit, you know. Like, "I'm real glad y'all are doing this, and I'm coming, but I'm not a part of this." Huh? Where does she like to sit in worship? Because that'll tell you something about, does she fear the Lord? What kind of, does she love the Lord? Does she reverence the Lord? You know what? I can be sort of a bystander back there like this brother is. Sit way back there in the back. I can sit back on the back row. Does she fear the Lord? How do you know? Well, how does she act in worship? You sit on the back row and you pass notes and you can talk and you can play with your phone and you can do stuff like that, and you're not really worshiping God. You're just sort of there. Does she fear the Lord? Can you tell if a girl fears the Lord? I think there are some things you could notice, don't you? Does she sing in worship? Does she sit in a place where she can worship? Does she take notes during a sermon? What kind of things show you that she's got this in her heart? You say, "I want to make the right choice. I want to put a golden band on the right left hand." All right. Let's pick the right lady. Does she fear the Lord? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says this. Look at chapter 1 verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," or of knowledge, "but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now here's the second one. Go to Proverbs chapter 11 verse 22. 11:22. You say, "I want to get the right girl." Of course you do. What are you looking for? Look for a girl who is a lady. Here's 11:22. This is one of my favorite proverbs because, I mean, if it's your first time to read it, you're going to laugh about this because it's so graphic, it paints a picture. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout." Now, you've never seen that, have you? Huh? You have never seen that before. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman which is without discretion." Isn't that something? What does it mean to be discreet? You need to pick a lady or a girl who is a lady. And it means that she's discreet. Now, she's old enough to understand about sexual things, but she's discreet about those things. She understands that she has a body which is attractive to men, but she's discreet about that, and so she wears modest apparel. There are things that she won't joke about, that she won't talk about and laugh about, because she's discreet about things that are sexual. What are you talking about? I'm saying that she's a lady. There's a difference between a girl who acts like a lady and one who doesn't. You want one who is discreet. Have you ever known of a beautiful, beautiful girl who was indiscreet? You say, well, lots. I mean, you ever meet Britney Spears? I mean, if your name is Britney, forgive me, I didn't mean you. You're talking about a beautiful girl, but it's, you know what she's like? May I just go ahead and say it? She's like a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Can you just picture that in your mind? You know what a swine's snout looks like, and can you just see a little diamond there? Isn't that sweet? It's kind of gross is what it is. And that's how a woman is without discretion. I'm trying to pick the right girl, you say. I want to put a golden band on the right left hand. How do you do it? Number one, you pick somebody who fears the Lord. I didn't say go to church. Of course she goes to church. Of course she... I want you to pick somebody who fears the Lord. Two, pick a lady. Now, here's the third thing. You know what you want? You want a girl who can help you make what you really want. What do you want 10 years from now? When you picture yourself 15 years from now, what do you picture? Look at chapter 14 and verse 1. What do you picture? You say, well, I mean, I'm just a teenager. Fine. You're thinking about eventually marrying. That's good. What do you picture? How do you picture yourself 15 years? I mean, what is the way that you'd like for it to be? And if you're a Christian, the answer to that is, what I'm looking for is a happy, secure, faithful Christian home. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for hopefully a couple of kids. I'd like to have some children, but I want to be raising them in the things of God. I want to have a happy, successful marriage. I want to be in love with my husband or my wife. I want to have a great marriage in the Lord. Sure you do. That's how it should be. Now, here's the third one on our list then. She's got to have what it takes to make that happen, or to help you make that happen. Here's 14 and verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. How would a woman... You ever known of a woman who just tore her own home up? I don't mean her house, I mean her home. And how is it that women sometimes do this today? Now, by the way, girls, if you're getting uncomfortable with the course of this, I'm going to switch over and talk about the boys in just a minute, so it'll be all right. How does a woman pluck down her own home? You ever known a woman to do that? Sometimes a woman will do that because she's indiscreet. We talked about discretion a while ago. She's too friendly with other men. Or maybe she's adulterous. She's not faithful to her marriage vows. And you know what she'll do? She'll tear her home down. That's what she'll do. Or maybe she is not careful with the family's money, and so she just doesn't care. She's irresponsible. She's so immature that she just spends and she credits. It runs the credit up and to the point that they can never come out from under it anymore, and she tears her home down. Maybe she's just not in the marriage. Maybe she spends so much time away from home that gradually it just chisels away at the relationship, and there's just not much marriage left after a while. And what's she doing? She's plucking down her home. Why? Because she's foolish, that's why. Now say, I'm going to pick a mate. It's great. Look 15 years down the road when you're deciding how to pick her and what kind of girl you want to marry, and say, what do I want to be like? What do I want my life to be like 15 years from now? What do I want? You say, well, I want a home. I want a happy home. I want to be raising children to be Christians. I picture myself happy with my spouse, and we've got a marriage, and we're going through life. Great, that's great. How do I get there? You listen to the wisdom of the Bible, right? Get a girl that fears the Lord. Get a girl that is a lady. We're going to talk about some of these things some more as we go through the day. You need to get a girl who will help you. You believe in her. That she's got the stuff that will help you build this objective of a faithful, happy, productive Christian home. She's got it in her. She's got that in her. All right. What you're looking for is a marriage made in heaven. Look at 19 and verse 14. 19 verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I like that. You may get money and riches from inheritance handed down to you, and that's a nice thing, I suppose. But if you have a good wife, sir, you listen to this old preacher. If you have a faithful Christian wife who helps you raise your kids in the Lord and who loves you like she should, and she helps you make a good home, you oughtn't to ever pat yourself on the back and say, look how smart I was to find her. This verse says a prudent wife is from the Lord. And what you say is, thank you, Lord, for giving her to me. Thank you for giving her to me. What's a prudent wife? We don't use prudent very much. It means wise. That means she's somebody who's got something deeper. She's not just superficial. She knows what the real stuff is that life is made out of. And she's from the Lord. All right. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house. Now, would you just let this burn into your psyche? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, you know what? I've seen homes built on the world's principles. And for the last 40 years or so in America, we've just really experimented with the world's ideas of how to make a home. And you know where we are right now, don't you? I mean, the statistics are amazing of couples that are just cohabitating. They're making families together without marriage, for a variety of different reasons. Then you think about the divorce rate and what's happened to homes. And we've tried the world. I mean, we think about child rearing the way the world sees it. And we've tried that. And you know, what we've seen are the results of failure. You know, but see, that's not complicated. You go back to Psalm 127, the Bible still says what it always said, which is, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In other words, you and I don't have enough human ingenuity to successfully build a great marriage, a great home, without the Lord. Right? All right. Here we go. Let's see if I can make this work now. You can tell that I'm not very good at this. Oh, a danger zone. All right, sir. Here's the danger zone. You're talking about picking a girl. We've talked about some characteristics to look for. Here's some danger zones. I wish I could make this blink. I wish I had a siren. Here we go. Don't settle for a witch just because she's beautiful. Go to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. We mentioned this one a while ago. 31 verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But she that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What does that mean? What is that? That there's something that you need to look for in that girl. And sometimes because she's beautiful, we might be tempted to put a ring on her hand. But if that's all there is, that marriage is going to be in trouble. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to be attracted to a girl. You ought to be. Don't marry somebody you're not attracted to. That's crazy. Of course you should think she's pretty. You just make sure that there's beauty that's more than skin deep. Because see, what happens is that gradually, that outward youthful beauty, of course, it will gradually change. Now, in my case, of course, my wife gets more beautiful every day. Yeah? The older she gets, the more I love her. That's how it's supposed to work, and that's how it works if you're in the Lord. But she won't always be young. You've got to look for something deeper. And the fact of the matter is that there's no woman. Would you listen to this old preacher? There is no woman on this earth that is so beautiful that you can live with her happily if she's ugly on the inside. You hear what I'm saying? Because you've got to get up in the morning, every morning, and look at her across the breakfast table. And you say, oh, she's beautiful. But what if she's always critical and ugly and mean-spirited and unhappy? What if she's always interested in other men? What if her character is wrong? What if she's black on the inside? Her heart is hard. You say, well, yeah, but she's beautiful. You'll be miserable. You hear me? You're going to be miserable. What you've got to do is to find a woman who's beautiful on the inside. Let that be the real beauty. Now, I'm not saying that you, again, I think you ought to marry a girl who you think is pretty. But pretty, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Isn't that true? Beautiful is in the eye of the beholder. Find somebody who's beautiful on the inside. Don't marry a witch just because she's beautiful. I don't care if you marry Miss America. Just make sure she's got a Bible under her arm. All right, here we go. Number next. Let's see if I can make this work. Yeah. Don't marry a contentious woman. Here's a danger zone. Don't marry an argumentative woman. Now let's go to chapter 27. In verse 15, and there are two or three of these in Proverbs that talk about an argumentative woman. 27 verse 15, see if you can just imagine this. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Don't you love it? Can you just, you know what a continual dropping in a very rainy day would be like? You can put up with that for a while. But did you ever wake up in the night and the faucet is doing that? You know what you're going to do? You say, I'm so tired, but I got to get up and try to turn that off. I can't stand that, right? It gets kind of irritating. Is that frustrating you a little bit that I'm doing that? You want me to stop? You know what? He says, a woman can be like that. Don't you marry an argument. You'll be better living single than being married to a contentious, argumentative woman. Let me show you another one. Chapter 21 and verse 9. Proverb 21 and verse 9. Same concept. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. As you say, well, we got a big house. It's not big enough. It's not big enough to get away from an argumentative woman, a contentious woman. Let's try another one. 21 verse 19. I knew of a grandmother one time who drew her children near to her, and she'd raised five children, and she sat down and read these verses to them, to let them know how important this is. Here's 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Got it? Danger zone. Number one, don't marry a witch just because she's beautiful. You'll be sorry. Number two, don't marry an argumentative or contentious woman. All right, now let's shift gears, and you girls are going to be happy about that. Okay, here we go. We're going to flip it over now. Back in the book of Proverbs, we're going to talk about picking the right man. Now, ladies, what I said is certainly true in the reverse. All these things are true. You've got to be so careful about who you marry. Marry someone who fears the Lord. Some of the things we've been talking about are applicable in both ways for both genders. But now here's the list. 7 windows into a man's character. Chapter 13 and verse 20. Here we go. 13 and verse 20. Question. What kind of company does he keep? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, one of the questions I want you to ask about this boy before you accept his ring is, what kind of crowd does he run with? Who are his companions? And don't give me that stuff about, well, you know, We're Christians, and so we ought to be kind to everybody. Of course, that's true. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his closest associates, who he's run with. Well, Daddy, he's not like them. He runs with their his friends, but he's not like them. You know what this says? It's a fool who runs with those kinds of people, because ultimately it's going to turn out bad. It's not going to turn out good. He'll ultimately be destroyed, and if you're with him, you'll be destroyed with him. You got to ask these questions, girls. Number one, what about his friends? You say, well, his friends drink, or his friends cheat, or his friends use this, or they use that, or his friends are like this, or they're like that. And you say, why is he with them? All right? What kind of company does he keep? Here's the second one. Or does he listen to the advice of others? Here's chapter 12 and verse 15. 12:15. Everybody turn. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Is this a boy who listens to the advice of wise people? I mean, you know, so you're around his folks and he's around them, or you're with the elders of the church, or with Bible class teacher, or the preacher, or with people considered typically to be wise people, and this boy, I mean, he's very respectful. What about when you get in the car? Is he still respectful about them? What about when you're on a date with this boy? He talks about his parents? Is he still respectful? And what about when one of these people, such as his mom or his dad, or maybe one of the elders of the church, has given him some wisdom, some counsel, some advice? How does he treat that advice? Does he mock it? Does he mock them? 7 questions to ask. This one is, does he listen to the advice of others? And I mean people who are respectable. Here's 3. Chapter 12 and verse 10. Chapter 12, verse 10. I threw this one in. You don't think about this very much, but I think it's kind of interesting. Chapter 12, verse 10 is the 3rd question. How does he treat animals? A few years ago, Judge Alan Hires was doing juvenile court in Memphis, Tennessee, and some boys had been arrested because they had taken a dog. There was some tar. Some men were tarring a roof, and you have to get that tar real hot in order to spread it on a roof, and it's a good roofing product. But they had taken a dog and put him in that boiling tar just to see what suffering would be like with that animal. And of course they were arrested for this kind of cruelty and brought before Judge Hires, who happens to be a faithful Christian, and he punished them to the full extent of the law because he knew that this has something to do with a man's character. And this verse says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked, even the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Here's the next one. 4, question, does he control his anger? Look at chapter 14, verse 29. Does he control his anger? He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is of hasty spirit exalteth folly. Does he control his anger? You say, well, he does, but he doesn't with me. I don't ever let him lose his temper with me. How about with other people? And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, yeah, he has a real temper, but I think he's getting better at it. I think that he will control it after we're married. Don't you marry somebody who doesn't control his temper. Don't you do that, because I'm going to tell you what, that'll bite you. You know, you'll see that later. You say, right now, we're not married, and so he controls it around me. Well, that's great, but let me tell you, after you do the I do's, and after you've been married for a few years, and you have the stresses of marriage that some days are going to come, you're going to see that anger, and you'll see it in reference to yourself. Don't marry that man. Here's the next one. 5. Is he honest with money? Chapter 15, verse 27. Ready? 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. And the gifts here don't mean Christmas presents. It means bribery, dishonest money, money to which we have no right. So I want to know something. You go out with this boy, and you go to a store and buy something, and when you get in the car or you're walking out in the parking lot, he says, you know what? She gave me a dollar too much. What does he do? You watch him now. You watch him. Because this is a window into his character. It's a window into his character. You know what's going to happen is that at the end of the day, they're going to take a tally there at Walmart of that girl who's working at that cash register and see how much she's missing. And if she's missing, you know who's got to put it back? She does. She's got to put it back. Does he think about that? And when he's counting that money and it's an extra dollar, and it, you know what? It's not his money. And remember, please, that our relationships with people are not a direct line. It's not just about you and me. Our relationships and all of our relationships are triangles. See, because it's me and it's this other person and it's always God, too. You see, it's always God. I've got to do what's right by other people because it has a bearing on my relationship to God. And so I hope when you're dating him that you get a dollar too much in change. I hope it happens. And then you watch him. And I want you to say a silent prayer if he says, you know what, I got an extra dollar, I'll be right back. Because he said something that day about his character. I mean, what if it's the opposite? What if he says, huh? What if he does that? Then you say, that really concerns me. Because how's it going to be if we're married? And are there going to be circumstances where he has an opportunity to cheat or to steal? And will he take the same liberties as we go on through life? Will he? Next. Does he control his mouth? Here's chapter 17. And we mentioned this one a little bit already. I want to touch on it again. Chapter 17, verse 27. Here we go. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. What makes you think that if he doesn't control his mouth while you're dating, that somehow miraculously he's going to control his mouth when you're married? And I want to ask you this question. Do you want your children to talk like that? And if the answer is no, what in the world makes you think that they're not going to grow up talking like their daddy? You see why this is important? Here are the questions that get into a man's character. What is his character? Here's the last one. Does he have compassion for the poor? Here's Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Isn't that a penetrating verse? So, observe him around people who are less fortunate. How does he act around... You listen to me. How does he act around old people? Is he compassionate? Now, what about the sick? Is he compassionate on people who are... You know boys who couldn't care less about people who are less fortunate in these various different areas? They're just, you know, I'm just so busy and I'm so cool. I do not have time for that. I do not want to pay attention to that. But you find a boy who sees old people and he goes and he talks to them, you pay attention to him. You hear me? Or he cares about people who are sick. Or what about children? Is he compassionate toward children or is he just kicking them around? Huh? You find you a boy who's compassionate, who's got a heart inside of his chest. All right, danger zone. Here we go. Danger, men to drop quick. Here we go. A womanizer, chapter 6, verse 27. You want to know a boy that you need to run from? Here's chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Is this boy respectful of women? And I mean by that, as a Christian, we should be respectful of women. Or is he cheap? Is he cheap in his view of women? Is he cheap in his view of sexuality? Is he a womanizer? You say, well, yeah, he talks trash a lot, but you know what? I don't think he would ever really do anything. Go ahead and marry him. And you know what? That problem in his character is going to show up. He might not have really hurt anybody yet, but there's pain in his future. And that pain will be shared with you. Ask some questions. And then appreciate this danger zone. Danger. Run away from this one. Is he a womanizer? Here's chapter 22 is the second one. A quick-tempered man. Quick temper. Chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, you know, sometimes girls start dating boys with tempers and then they get scared to stop dating them. Is that scary or what? I'm scared of what he would do. I'm scared of what he would say. I just make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. One more. Here's chapter 23. Click the button. Good. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Let's see if I've got the right one. Yeah, that's what I want. Don't marry a drinker. Don't marry a drinker. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes or anguish? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Don't even look at it. Stay away from it. When it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, and that's the process of becoming intoxicating. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When will I awake? And in this last part, I will seek it again. Don't marry a drinker. You find you somebody who is afraid of alcohol like you should be, and I am. Don't marry a drinker. That's a danger zone. That'll come back to hurt. How to put a golden band on the right left hand. May I go down the list quickly? Gentlemen, three absolutes for your list for a wife. She fears the Lord. She's a lady. She's got what it will take to help you produce what you really want, which is a happy, faithful, secure Christian home. Danger zone, don't settle for a witch just because she's beautiful. Avoid marrying a contentious woman. Ladies, seven windows into a man's character. What kind of company does he keep? Does he listen to the advice of others, of wise people? How does he treat animals? Does he control his anger? Is he honest with money? Does he control his mouth? Is he compassionate? Danger zone. Is he a womanizer? Is he quick-tempered? Does he use alcohol or drugs? Run quick. You know, this is exciting to me. This day is exciting because you're very near. I don't know how long, but you're very near to the time when you're going to make this decision, the second biggest decision of your life. The biggest, of course, is to become a Christian. Choosing a mate. You're going to make it or break it so far as happiness is concerned on this decision. And it's not just, of course, finding the right person. It's being the right person. And we're going to talk some more about that, but I'm just telling you this is exciting because we're on the brink of something really big here. But we have to do it right. You see, because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the light to illuminate our path, that we can know the way that is good and right. And today we're especially thankful for that light of Thy Word with reference to our marriages and who we will marry and the kind of home that we will make for our children. And Father, help us to have the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. Help us to learn these things and to have wisdom to be able to see how particular courses of action will ultimately turn out. And oh Father, help us to be faithful children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.